this afternoon, I want to start where I left off yesterday. Closing our healing school service yesterday. Closing our healing school service yesterday. I just had some closing comments, and I want to pick up right there. But what I need to do is to tie into where we left off 2 weeks ago. Left off a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about Revelation. Remember that?
Yes.
Remember that? And I want you to turn to Colossians, the book of Colossians. And we're going to go to chapter 1. Colossians is in the New Testament, sort of over towards the back. If you need a hand finding it, that'll be all right. We'll be happy to help with that. Colossians chapter 1 comes after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst today, Lord God. You've already demonstrated your presence, Lord God. We thank you for the power of your Spirit reaching and touching our hearts, Lord God, even as we lifted our hands, our hearts, Lord God, our voices to worship you, O God. We thank you for that tangible manifestation of your presence that we feel deep down inside. We ask, Lord God, as we open your word, O God, we ask that you even reveal yourself even more clearly, Lord God, and more deeply, Lord God. If there are any barriers, if there are any hindrances, in the name of Jesus, I command them to come down. Every wall, come down. Every distraction, every hindrance, I command to come down now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, make your word open and plain to us as we enter into a study of your word today. In Jesus' name. I said verse 9, Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the people in a city called Colossae. They are called the Colossians. And he said, since the day he heard about their faith and their love, that he has not ceased to pray for them. Much like Pastor Lisa and I pray for you.
Yes.
And we desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You can't possibly do the will of God if you don't know the will of God. You ain't gonna like fall backwards into it. You ain't gonna stumble into it. It ain't gonna happen. You have to know the will of God in order to walk worthy. The next verse. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I love the word of God, don't you?
Yes.
I love the word of God. The word of God is food.
Yes, it is.
It's nourishment.
Yes,
it is. To my spirit. As I strive to learn to know and do the will of God.
Yes.
That you might be filled. Ever wonder? Do you ever wonder? How am I supposed to know? Huh? Most people do. Because before understanding, there's confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Before you understand, you're confused about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get understanding, you're not confused anymore. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Before understanding comes confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of us, I would say, most of us have had times, or maybe now, could be in a time where we're striving to understand the will of God
mm-hmm.
regarding a matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
Could be a personal matter, could be a matter regarding children. I mean, one of the areas that we have dear to our hearts is our children and grandchildren. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Dear to our hearts. Lord, how do we raise these children? How do we not have them go through the stuff we've been through?
That's
Isn't that right?
Right.
Amen.
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 That's right.
Wisdom, spiritual understanding, revelation. That's where revelation comes in. We're going to the book of Revelation now. Last time we were talking about holding fast.
Yeah.
From the book of Revelation, and we flowed all through chapters 1 to 3 about Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira, about all of these churches way over in another part of the world somewhere. But we recognized and understood that Jesus, the revelator, Jesus Christ is the revelator. You know, sometimes people think that God is trying to conceal things from them.
Mm-hmm.
That God is trying to, like, he makes the way difficult for you to try to figure out how to live. God is not a concealer. He's not a concealer. God is the revelator. Open up your Bible to Revelation. It's the very, very, very last book in the Bible. It's called the Revelation. Open up your book to Revelation. And go to Revelation chapter 1 and just look at verse 1. Revelation chapter 1, look at verse 1. Well, first of all, the name of the book is Revelation. That ought to be like a clue. Right? The name of the book is Revelation. And the opening verse of the entire book says what? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things. Hold on. Things. Don't you want to know some things?
Huh?
To show unto his servants things. God is not the concealer. He is the revelator.
Amen.
He's trying to show you some things. How does God show us things? You see, I'm supposed to be going back to the churches. And I'm going to have to do that sometime. But before we go back to the churches, in Ephesus and Smyrna and Thyatira, you know, before we go back to the churches, because I told you that the revelation is not only for those churches way over somewhere in Asia Minor, but that revelation about those churches that actually existed in that time, those were seven churches that actually existed in that time. But that revelation that Jesus gave regarding what was going on in those churches also was a manifestation, a revelation of various eras of church history, various time periods of church history. And we talked of, Jesus said, I know what? He said, I know your
works.
Isn't that what he said? I know your works. He said, I am he that tries the heart and the reins. I search you out. And I know what's going on in your decision-making process. I know how you're filtering things. I know your reins, your kidneys, and I know your heart. I know what's going on. And so I do intend to get back to the churches, because the churches are about what happened then and about what's happened through history, but it's also about what's happening in your life and my life today. Amen. You know, and I'm interested in, you know, Asia Minor, and I'm interested in history, I'm interested in those things, but, you know, the greatest relevance is what's happening in my life. What's happening in my family? What's happening in our church? How are we absorbing these things that God has given us? How are we walking them out? The Bible says in that verse, in verse 9 of Colossians 1, that ye might walk worthy. How are we walking? Are we wobbling? Are we walking straight? God is he's the revelator, not the concealer. He's the revealer. He's a revealer. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel says he revealeth his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 1 that he said, this is John wrote that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants things. God is all about revealing things. Daniel 2 says he revealeth the deep and secret things, and it's Amos chapter 3 verse 7 that says he revealeth his secrets unto his servants the prophets. Jesus himself in John chapter 15 and verse 15, he said, all things I have heard from my Father I have made known unto you. I've revealed it unto you. I'm not holding anything back. Sometimes people feel like they need more than what's in the scriptures. You know, that they need some other experience that they can get outside of what the scriptures give us. And Jesus said that all things that his Father gave to give us, that he's given it unto us. That he gave us his word. So it's like we're not missing anything. Now, we might be missing, you know, we're not missing anything out of the Word, but we might be missing what's in the Word. Sometimes people try to get it from some other way than the way that God gave it to us. God is a revealer. The scripture reading we read today from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, God has revealed it unto us by his Spirit. God is a revealer. Your question, is there revelation for me? It's great to know that Jesus had a revelation for John. It's great to know that there's revelation for the prophets. But what about me? Is there revelation for me? Well, Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 17. I want you to find that because you might want to make a note of it. Ephesians chapter 1, 17. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll give you a minute to get it. Because I want to show you that God desires for every one of us to have revelation. Ephesians chapter 1 is in the New Testament, verse 17. I'm going to have to stop telling you all what Testament is, because you all know by now. But just to help out anybody who don't know. Ephesians 1:17. You see, you got to know that there's a revelation for you. Ephesians 1:17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Revelation for your situation. That's the title of my message today. It's revelation for your situation. It's great that we got revelation about Thyatira. It's great that we got revelation about Pergamos. It's great that we got revelation about all these beasts and all of these things that are going on in heaven. But what about revelation for me? My life, my situation, my children, my finances, my health. What about revelation for me? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:17 that God the Father desires to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Well, you know, I started to think, and I looked at Ephesians 1:17. I started to think, and you know, for me, I never judge God's intent by my experience. I never judge God's intent by my experience. I judge His intent by His word. So I said, let me go to the word and find out where people got revelation. Just ordinary, regular people. I said, the woman at the well. She's just an ordinary, regular woman. In fact, she was so regular. She had lots of boyfriends and stuff. She was hanging out a little bit, you know. She couldn't get her relationship straight, you know. You know what I'm saying? She was just a regular person, you know. You know what I mean? She weren't like holy roly, you know. She was just, you know, trying to figure stuff out.
Amen.
You know, just trying to figure out how to live. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And messing up as she goes. It's like just, you know, just like we've been doing something with.
Amen.
You know, messing up as we go along. You know?
Amen.
Woman at the well. Made mistakes. Did she get a revelation?
Yes.
Did she get a revelation?
Yes.
I met a man who told me
everything I had done.
Everything. Got a revelation.
Yeah,
got a revelation. Then I thought about, you know, that was a woman with relationship problems. You know, I thought about, let me see, come up with a health situation. Woman with the issue of blood.
That's right.
Bible says in Mark 5, that was John 3, the woman with woman at the well, John 3. Bible says in Mark chapter 5, it says that she, it's like, you know, it's like the light went off. Uh-huh. Bible says she said to herself.
That's right.
Now, you don't just go around saying to yourself, if I go touch his clothes, I'm going to be made. She got a revelation.
Yes.
That's
right.
Yes. This is Jesus. This is the Son of God.
Yes.
And that if I just, you know, now she had to put herself at risk. She had an issue of blood. She was bleeding. If you understand anything about the times we're talking about, you know that she was supposed to be separated.
That's right.
But she said, you know what? I'm dying here. You know, and you know, and if I die, if I stay separate, I'm going to die.
That's right.
You know. And you know, and if I mess up and they stole me, I'm going to die.
Right.
But if I can just touch the hand of His arm, I'll be made whole.
I'm going to take my chance.
Woman at the well had a revelation.
Yes, she did.
Woman with the issue of blood had a revelation too.
Yeah.
Turn to Acts chapter 10 while I tell you. Acts chapter 10. So I want to tell you about another fella. This is a fella this time. But Peter had a revelation too, didn't he? I heard somebody say Peter.
Yeah.
Right? While you're finding Acts 10, Peter had a revelation, didn't he?
Yeah.
I heard somebody say Peter. Didn't Peter have, what was Peter's revelation? Huh? Huh? Whom do men say that I am? Whom do men say that I am?
That's right.
Oh, some people are saying you're John the Baptist. Some saying you're not. But who do you say that?
That's right.
You've been hanging out with me. You've been seeing the miracles.
That's right.
Who do you say that I am? Peter had a revelation, didn't he?
Yes, indeed.
Peter had a revelation. I want to now go to a fella by the name of Cornelius.
Yes.
Now, Cornelius was just an ordinary fella. Okay? He was so ordinary, they couldn't even let him in the temple. Because he was a Gentile. He couldn't even go to church. So you know what he did? So what did I say? Acts
10.
You got it?
Yeah.
Let's look at Cornelius for a moment. You want to know about a revelation? There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion, meaning he was a soldier of the band called the Italian band. Now pay close attention. Okay, let's jump to verse 3. Because verse 3 says he had a vision. Okay?
A revelation. Okay?
Now I'd be interested to know what were the characteristics surrounding this man that he had. Wouldn't you want to know?
Yeah.
You want a revelation? You need to know. Let's look at Cornelius. Bible says he was a devout man. What does that mean? Deeply committed to religion. It's a good start. Deeply committed is good. Deeply committed. Deeply committed, right? So commitment was a part of his character, right? He wasn't, you know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, it says, it talks about what pleases God, right? How'd it go, Phyllis? Come on, you know it. I think she on the spot. Hebrews 11:6. Come on, this is the part I'm trying to get to. To what? That's Malcolm's deeply committed. You see that? So diligently seeking God is not, and devout and deeply committed is not the same thing as casual.
Right.
You know.
Whatever.
Yeah. I'll get to church one day. I'll get there. You know. One of these days I'm gonna give my life to the Lord. One of these days. You know. Sometimes when we're young people, we say, when I get older, I've got to have my fun first. When I get older, then I'll give my life to the Lord. And that right? Anybody said that? Anybody? Anybody said that? Was it only just me? When I get older, I'm going to do right. When is a good time to do right? When is a good time to do right?
Now is the acceptable time.
Right?
That's right.
When is a good time to live for Christ?
Right now.
Right now is a good time. Make a commitment. Right now. Amen? Right now. So he was that kind of man, okay? He was that kind of man. He said, right now. They ain't let me come to church, but that's all right. That's all right. I can still be committed to God. I can still pray. I can still help other people. I can still give offerings and give tithe. I can still do all my things right. Still do all my things right. You hear me?
Hallelujah.
The devout man. He feared God in all his house.
Woo!
Okay.
I like that.
Pay attention now. Because these are the things that get the vision, okay? Think about it, okay? He feared God with all his house. He said, if you in this house,
right.
You know, when you get your own house, you can do whatever you want in your house. But if you in this house, me and my house will serve the Lord.
Amen.
This house can't be dependent and independent at the same time.
I know that's right.
Can't be in my house doing whatever you want to do. No.
Oh, my.
Ain't happening. So, you know, sometimes we want a vision. You know, we want a revelation from God, but we ain't got the house in order. Stand up with backbone and say, me and you, so you got the Bible and Pastor Larry behind you. Me and my house, we going to serve the Lord.
Right.
Jesus is in front of me.
Amen.
Number one. Right? Me and my house. He was a devout man. He was committed. Malcolm said, deeply committed. That he was serious about this stuff.
Yeah, I know that's right.
Diligently. Not just casually, whenever I get around to it. Feared God. All his house.
Amen.
Gave much alms to the people. He paid his tithe and gave offering.
Amen.
Deeply committed. And some people pay tithes sometimes.
Amen.
Some people pay tithes if they come to church, and if they don't come to church that Sunday, then they just don't pay tithes, and then it's, you know, and they consider it to be tithing, but it's not really tithing, is it? Because tithing is a tenth of your increase, right? So if you have increase and you don't tithe this week, and you have increase next week and you give 5%. Yeah. Then I could talk about that, but I think you get it, right? Because we're talking about Cornelius of Caesarea. Devout man, feared God, gave of his tithes and offerings, and prayed to God always. He adhered to the scripture that said, pray without ceasing. Yeah. Pray without ceasing. Amen?
Yes.
And the Bible says in verse 3, he what? He saw a vision. Evidently. About the, what's the ninth hour? What's the ninth hour? 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 3 o'clock, because 1 is 6 o'clock in the morning. Okay, just 1 is 6 o'clock in the morning, so 9 would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The afternoon. So this wasn't drawing his morning devotions. It wasn't his noonday devotions. It wasn't his evening devotions. This was in the middle of the afternoon. He saw a vision. Be always ready, because some of you may encounter an angel unawares. May not know. Like Cornelius did. An angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Malcolm. Tay. Ever had God call you by name?
Yes.
Sometimes he says son.
Yes.
Sometimes he's called me Lawrence. Sometimes he's called me Larry. Ever had your name called? Cornelius. Now, one of the things I've seen from scripture is that whenever men are approached by angels, it's not like a ta-da! It's like, ooh. It's like a fearsome kind of a thing. Bible says, when he looked on him, he was afraid.
Yeah.
And said, "What is it? What, hey, what you visiting me for? A judgment call." And he said to him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God."
Wow.
Now, here is something that you need to understand about Revelation. Here with Cornelius is something you need to understand about Revelation. Very often, when God has revelation for you, other people are involved.
Yeah, that's true.
Other people are involved. And so the angel tells Cornelius, send for Peter. Because Peter's going to reveal unto you the word of God. You don't see very often people getting revelation in isolation. God works in concert. He works in harmony and in symphony with others. He don't work in isolation. He works in concert. Tawana's a choir singer. It's not a solo, right? Choir is not a solo.
You're right. It's a group.
It's a group. Send for Peter, and you will find God strategically puts people in your life to reveal unto you the word of God. Revelation sometimes comes right here in the preaching service. Right here in the preaching service. Sometimes revelation comes as we're worshiping together, lifting our hearts, our heads, lifting our hands and our voices unto God. Revelation comes, deliverance comes. He said, send for Peter. Now, the interesting thing is, you know, we've got to work in concert with each other. Got to work in concert with each other. Because at the same time, the angel's telling Cornelius, send for Peter. He's telling Peter, there's a fellow over there named Cornelius you gotta go see. So God is giving a word to him. Now what if Peter said, I don't like them people. What you sending me for? Why don't you send one of them? Because that's what we do sometimes. And the very one, you know, I one of the things that I have noted, I noted this from my early Christian days, I noticed that very often the person who has the help for me is the person that I don't expect it to come from the most. You know? You know? And that's the person that has the help. And sometimes the person who I can help is the person who I don't really expect them to listen to what I gotta say.
Yeah.
Gotta work in concert with one another.
That's right.
Gotta work in concert with God. Because God is about harmony and symphony. You know, there's Matthew 18 talks about the prayer of agreement. You know about the prayer of agreement in Matthew 18? And if you read it in the Amplified Version, it says that that the prayer of agreement, God desires to create a harmony.
Yeah.
To create a symphony.
Amen.
That's what he desires to do. That if you can harmonize with each other, come into agreement.
Yes.
Amen.
Anything and everything you ask.
Yes. Yes.
Be available to you.
Yes.
Stop fighting.
Yes.
Stop fighting. Just relinquish control unto the Lord.
Yes.
Just relinquish.
Yes.
Just rest.
Yes.
That's what revelation is about, rest.
Yes. Thank you.
No, the Lord showed me one time. He said to me, he said, when you struggle, it's because you really haven't made a decision to let me be Lord in your life.
That's true.
And so the struggle is really fighting God. That's what the struggle is. The struggle is really about fighting God.
Yeah.
Say, no, it shouldn't be this way, Lord. It shouldn't. I want it to be this way. So we're boxing with God. Can you imagine? Aren't your arms a little bit short to be boxing with God?
Too short. Way too short.
You know, you can go on with this. You can go on. Just think of Gideon. Think about Gideon. You think about Revelation. Think about Gideon. You know, the angel comes to Gideon. Arise, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. What are you talking about?
Yes.
And he starts rattling off to the angel all the reasons why it shouldn't be him. I come from the smallest tribe. I'm the youngest in my family. We ain't got no money. We ain't got no money. We ain't got no eat. You know. Start rattling off all the reasons why God can't use him. And the angel says to him, go in this thy might.
Yes.
Go in what? Go in what? In the revelation that I said to you, arise, thou mighty man of valor. God says you are mighty man. That's the revelation.
Amen.
You know the rest of the story.
Amen.
Gideon's the one who took 300 men and defeated thousands.
Yes.
Go in this thy strength. Thy strength is in the word of God.
Yes.
It's not in you lifting weights. It's in the word of God. The revelation of the word of God. Go in this thy strength. You know, and I can go on and on with Isaiah and Jeremiah and go on and on with different ones. Go on and on in different ones. Paul had a revelation in Galatians chapter 1, 11 to 13. He says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but I got knocked off my horse. Not what it says in the word, but it says, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you know the story, he got knocked off his horse.
Yeah.
Right? He was so bullheaded and stubborn that the Holy Spirit was speaking to him and said, you're wrong, Paul. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're arresting these Christians. You're killing them. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. Anybody ever? Nobody. Yeah. Nobody else but me. Ever been doing something and the Holy Spirit, you keep it on doing it, and the Holy Spirit telling you, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. You're wrong. But let me tell you something. That ain't the way it has to be. You don't have to get knocked off your horse. Okay? See, because you could be like Cornelius. You could get the revelation without getting knocked off your horse.
Amen. That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
You can get the revelation. You see? Some of us, you know, and this is the thing, we're praying about our children not having to go through the same stuff we went through when we had people told us, don't go down there with them people. Don't be doing them things they doing. You know, don't get in them cars with them boys. They go and do stuff, and you know, and you and them, they go to jail, you go to jail. When the gunfire starts, bullets don't have no names on it. You And am I saying it?
Yes. Yes.
Isn't this the right thing?
Yes.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Girls?
That's right.
See, what grandma say?
No.
What grandma say? Grandma says, keep your, you know, dress down, legs together.
Keep
your pants up, your dress down, and your legs together. Yeah, unless you're married.
That's right. That's what the word says.
You know, and so we end up, you know, we end up in trouble. We end up with problems. Avoidable. See, revelation comes.
Amen?
Revelation comes. God is a revealer. Amen? God is a... Where does revelation come from? It comes from the Father. Right? It comes through Jesus Christ. And it comes by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. That's a... Now, how is revelation given? We talked about some of the ways revelation is given today. But I want to tell you that in the old days, they had what's called a Urim and the Thummim. The priest had it. You had to go to the priest and say, should I do this or should I do that? And the priest would tell you by how the lights light up on his breastplate. Yeah. We ain't got to do that today. We can pray.
That's right.
And receive the revelation in the Urim and Thummim in our heart. Amen? Amen. But that was one of the ways. And you know, there was a situation, you know, because sometimes people are praying and they're not getting any answers, and they're saying, I want revelation, what should we do, and they're not getting any, they don't appear to be getting any answers, and sometimes the real issue is that they've already had answers. Sometimes they've already had answers, and they ain't doing the thing they already done been told, and they're looking for answers about everything. There was a situation in 1 Samuel. Let me get it right quick. 1 Samuel 28. 1 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. Come on, quick, Samuel. That's Samuel 28. Saul. Saul was inquiring of the Lord. In verse 6, 1 Samuel 28, verse 6, it says, when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. Neither by dreams nor by Urim, that's the Urim and the Thummim, nor by the prophets. Mm-hmm. Why did the Lord answer him not? That's, you know, if you look at that verse in isolation, you might get the impression that God doesn't answer prayer.
No.
You know what I'm saying? That isolation, just look at that. But to understand that Saul was disobedient.
Yes.
To, you know, when you understand the rest of what's going on in the story, you know, you understand that Saul was disobedient. He was a disobedient king. He did not do what God asked him to do. So he had received revelation and lived a life in violation of the revelation he had received. And so, you know, and so God said, like, why should I talk to you? Why should I talk to you if you ain't doing what I already done told you to do? You know, what you coming to me for? I already done told you what to do. You find that situation often. We find that situation very often. You know, as pastors were responsible to give instruction. You know, to understand revelation and to give instruction. That's one of the, just like Cornelius and Peter, you know, the angel sent Cornelius to Peter. You know, he said, send for Peter, because Cornelius couldn't go to Peter's, where Peter was at, because he was with the Jews and Cornelius was a Gentile. So he said, Cornelius, send for Peter. Cornelius is thinking, he's a Jew, he ain't going to come to my house.
God already took care of that.
Yes.
He said, Peter, don't be calling anybody common or unclean.
That's right.
So Peter, you go into that Gentile guy's house. Yeah. Going all the way inside.
Yeah,
that's right. And so Saul, back to Saul. I know I'm around in the word, but it's okay. It's back to Saul. Saul was disobedient. And disobedience, you have to know that disobedience, it impedes your ability to hear God. So I encourage you to obey everything you know to do. Do it. Do that. I guarantee to you that if you do everything you know to do, everything that's been revealed,
yes,
more will be revealed.
Yes.
I guarantee you that. God is about building and about growing and about establishing.
Yes.
You know, God isn't about, okay, you get in that little spot and stay there. God is about building and growing and establishing a kingdom.
Yes.
Kingdoms grow.
Yes.
So we gotta grow, amen?
Amen.
Because where's the kingdom?
Yes.
It's inside you.
That's right.
The kingdom ought to be busting loose out of you.
That's the truth.
Because it's growing inside you, amen?
Yes.
Now how is the kingdom growing? The kingdom is growing. The kingdom is growing in you in love and in peace and in joy, in right doing, righteousness.
Yes.
In our worship to God and our love for our fellow
men.
That's how the kingdom grows.
That's
how it grows.
Amen.
That's how it grows. When we become representatives of Jesus Christ right here on this earth. Especially, especially in difficult situations. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, it's great when everything is going well. You know, everything is just, you know, everything you want is there. All the people acting right, well, I don't know about that, but you know, all the people in your life is acting right, doing exactly what you think they ought to be doing. Now see, there's a problem right there. If everybody's doing what you think they ought to be doing, then it's probably a problem with you. You know, maybe you're too controlling. Yeah? But what about when, you know, what about when everything isn't exactly the way you think it ought to be? You know what I'm saying? Everybody ain't the way you think they ought to be. You know, to not do what you normally do and cut the fool and act up, you know, and your mouth be running and your attitude and your behavior to grow. You know, I mean, like if we could just grow.
Yes.
To the point of being at peace in any situation, of being thankful to God, through it all.
That's right.
To learn to trust in Jesus through it all, so that we can be at peace in every situation. Not to say that we're going to like every situation, but to be at peace. To have that joy deep down inside that the world can't take away.
Yes.
See, that's spiritual growth. That's the real deal.
Yes, Lord.
It's not when everything is revolving around you and everybody's doing everything you think they should be doing. But when we come to the point of that kind of peace in our lives, that kind of surrender to God, that allows the place, that place allows for more revelation. That allows for more kingdom impact in your relationships. Fighting all the people, you notice that ain't been working, right? You know, have you noticed? Fighting all the people in your life. Some people are at odds with everybody. You know, if you're at odds with everybody in your life, then you've got to start thinking. You know, you, somewhere along the line, you got to start thinking, is it all of them?
Right.
I wanted to talk about how revelation is given to us. I got off on Saul. You know, I also wanted to talk a little bit about, there was a king called Uzziah. And you find him in 2 Chronicles around 26 or 28 or something like that. But King Uzziah, he was doing pretty good. He was doing pretty good. Kind of like how we do sometimes. We're doing good. And then pride rises up. You see, because King Uzziah, he was doing pretty good. He had his military, you know, hooked up real nice, and they was all situated with their swords and their shields, and he was going out and he was defending Israel and everything, and things was going good. And something got into, the devil got into him one day and said, you know, you're doing so good, why don't you go in the temple and burn incense? No, that doesn't pertain to kings. That pertains to priests. But sometimes when we get in leadership, we think we got to be the leader of everything. You know, we think we got to be able, you know, I'm the king. I'm the king. So I'm going to temple burn incense. The priests had to push him out. The priests had to push him out. And before he got out of the temple, he became a leper. Because he was disobedient to the very word of God. Disobedient to the very word of God. Just do king real good. You'll be doing all right if you do king. Just do that. Some of us have things to do from God, and we ain't doing that. We trying to do, we a mouth in all everybody else's stuff. Do that. You know, do husband. Do that part.
That's right.
Do father.
That's right.
It might be grandmother or granddad. Do that part.
That's right.
Amen.
Get out of somebody else's grandchildren's business and do your part. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do that part. Your wife, do wife real well.
That's right.
Amen.
Extolling the virtues of wifehood, whatever, wifery, whatever. Husbandry, you know. Do that part real well. Study it out, you know. I say, if I want to know something, I'm going to study it out. You know, study it out. How do you, you know, because I mean, I know I'm not good at some of this stuff. So I personally, I have to study it out. Personally.
Amen.
I'm not good at some stuff, you know. I really, like some people say, like, I was born ready to do, you know. I wouldn't. I had learned stuff. Okay. So revelation comes by studying the Word of God. Even, see?
Amen.
Revelation. You can get revelation by studying the Word of God.
Yes. Right.
You can get revelation.
Yes.
By dreams, by visions, just like Cornelius.
Yeah.
You know, by angels, you know. By listening to the Word of God preached.
Yeah.
You know. And by a commitment, just like Cornelius. By a commitment to spiritual growth.
Amen.
See, if you just commit yourself to grow. Say, I'm not going to be the same. Say, I am not
going to be the same.
A commitment to spiritual growth. You see any wicked way in me, Lord? Bring it to my attention. Be serious about it. Thing is that we want the Lord to bring it to our attention, and the Lord may let our wife bring it to our attention. Oh, well, don't tell her. The Lord may let your husband do it. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Mine be the children. And that's who you think you're talking to, child? The Lord often lets the least one we want to do it be the one to do it. Bring the revelation. Uh-oh, let me hush my mouth. Isn't that right?
Yes, right.
Amen.
So the characteristics of revelation, remember we talked about this? You know, I just want to make sure that we get this down. You can be knocked off your horse. I don't advise it. I don't advise it, okay? You can be knocked off your horse, you know, because Saul was knocked off his horse. I'm talking about two Sauls. Both Sauls were knocked off. Saul the apostle was knocked off his horse. He surrendered, Lord, and went on to become a great apostle. But Saul the king lost the kingship and lost his life. I don't advise it. Cornelius, humble, surrendered, devoted. Amen? Received the revelation of God through the angel and then later on through Peter. Amen?
Amen.
Peter laid hands on him. That boy spoke in tongues. Got saved.
Hallelujah.
Got baptized. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Received it. Amen. So slow down. Slow down. Slow way down. You don't get a revelation. You know, busyness. Busyness would be, you know, because that's where Paul, Saul who became Paul the apostle, he was busy. He was busy, 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 busy about killing Christians. You know? And so slow down. Slow way down. So when you slow way down, you can start to hear from God. Yeah. Slow down. Love God. Love His word. Love His will. Love His way. Love His worship. Love God. Amen.
Amen.
Be willing and obedient to do the will of God as it's made known to you.
Yes,
be willing and obedient to do the will of God as it's made known to you. Make quiet time for God.
Amen.
What do I mean by make it? Yeah.
Plan
it. Yeah. It's like when I have time, I'm really going to study the Bible. When I have time. Yeah, right. When I have time. You want revelation? You want to hear from God? Make time for Him in your life. Make time for Him. Make times of the day. You know, some people are morning people and they like, you know, like me, I like my 5 o'clock in the mornings. You know. Some people are evening people. You know, they want an evening. And some people are late night. And years ago, I used to be up till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning studying the Word, you know. And 2 o'clock, I'm on my, like, third dream by then. Now. You know. So make time for God, amen?
Amen.
Make quiet time. Make quiet time for God.
Amen.
So that you can open up the Word of God and you can listen to the Lord. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33 verse 6, God says, call unto me, I will answer thee. And I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not.
That's right.
It says, call unto me. I'll show you. You want revelation? I'm the revelator. I'll show you revelation. Finally today, in Acts 26, this is back to our Apostle Paul. What does revelation do? And what is the purpose of revelation? Acts chapter 26, verses 15. Starting in verse 15, Acts 26. Let me go there. Our speaker is Jesus Christ Himself. Our speaker is Jesus Christ Himself. And in the end of verse 15, He says, I am Jesus, who thou persecutest. But rise. And stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Remember that God has purpose in your life. Amen?
Amen.
God has purpose in your life. Your life is on purpose and for a purpose. And Jesus says to make thee a minister or a servant and a witness both of these things. See, Paul had things too. You got things? You got things? Yeah, we all got things. And Jesus said, these things which thou hast seen, and those things in the which I will appear unto you. Now I want you to know that I believe that every single one of you has seen some things that God has shown you. Every one of you.
Yeah.
Even the little ones.
Amen.
You've seen things. You know, you've seen some things. But I want you to know that there's more.
Amen.
He said, I these things which you have seen, and also, Jesus says, of those things in the which I will appear unto you. There's more. I promise you there's more. If you seek it, you will find it. There's more. God has so much more that he wants to reveal. How to live? How do I live? How do I get along with others? How do I raise children? How do I pour into their life?
Amen.
How do I pray for them? There's more. Verse 17, delivering thee. Deliverance is a high part of what God wants to do in our lives.
Amen.
He wants us delivered. Amen?
Amen.
He wants us delivered, not in bondage. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee. He wants to deliver us. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. God is a revelator. He's got revelation for you and your family. It's not even just about you. It's not even just about you. Because you have an influence in this world. You. You have an influence in this world.
Yes.
And you can influence or you can be influenced.
That's right.
And some of us, instead of being influential in our community, in our sphere of influence, instead of being influential in all the things that God has given us, we're allowing people who don't know nothing to tell us how to live. I remember my mother told me when I was a little boy, my mother told me, she said, you hanging around with them boys and they don't know nothing and they can't teach you nothing and you won't teach them the stuff I taught you. You ain't even teaching them the stuff I taught you. They don't know nothing. They just as clueless about life as ever. And so what do we do when we don't know? What do people do who don't know? They just kind of being there and everything, doing anything. Wandering. We've got a more sure word of prophecy that ye do well, that ye take heed.
Yeah.
It's even a light that shines into a dark place.
Yeah.
The light of the gospel, the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And God has revelation for you. Even more than you've seen up till now, God has revelation for you. He's got revelation for your situation. Amen?
Amen.
But you write specifically for your situation. So I encourage you today. Heed the word of God. And listen to the things that God has to say. I hope that in the near future we can get back to the book of Revelation. And get back to Revelation about the situations that Jesus was talking to John about. There's so much there. And that will really take some time to do. But I hope to get back to it because it is really some powerful revelation for us today. Kind Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. Lord God, we're navigating through life, Lord God. And Yeah, we've got these kind of situations and those kind of situations. Every single person in this room, Lord God. We've got this problem and that problem. It might be financial. It might be relationships. It might be about school, or it might be about a family, Lord God, or it might be emotional, or it might be spiritual, Lord God. We've got situations that we must deal with, and Lord, we need your revelation.
Yes.
Because only deliverance is deliverance. Yes, and you are the deliverer. Yes. You're the revelator and you're the deliverer, Lord God. Yes. And that you don't desire for any of us to be in bondage. Yes. But you desire for us to be free and whole and delivered, Lord God. Yes. And our desire is to be with you, Lord God.
Yes.
To live in that freedom.
Yes.
To walk in that wholeness.
Yes.
Lord God.
Yes.
To be a light in our homes.
Yes.
To be a light in our communities, Lord.
Yes.
And so, Lord God, we surrender to you today. We pray, Lord God, that the word that's going forth today, Lord God, will reach deeply into hearts, Lord God, and set free those that may be in bondage to this thing or that thing, Lord God. Bring about the deliverance that you've promised us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.